one towards the goal. That's going to be blocked by Travis Wigeon.
Well, this is more like it.
This is Slang in the Biscuit. Here's Travis Wigeon and Dave Wheeler.
I don't care what you tell me. We need to get you back on social media. Dave Wheeler on social media.
Nope.
Why not?
Left for a reason.
So here's what I'm thinking. I've gotten countless requests from people since, you know, we've done the podcast starting back in August, and on the Sling the Biscuit Instagram page, people are like, get Dave back on social media. I want to talk to Dave, because right now, if you want to talk to Dave, you have to go through the Instagram page, talk to me. I texted to Dave. Dave texts me back. I get it back to you, and it's just a... I'm essentially the middleman. Right?
Or we can do the good old-fashioned tried, tested, and true email. I am always available via email.
Oh, email is such a pain in the butt. Then I have to type on a platform. It's no different than typing inside Instagram. You can do it on your phone. You just send an email. It's easy. It's simple.
Can we get into just like very... I know you have the whole legal side of things, but can we just briefly get into why you're not on social media, just for the people that want to know?
Without making it sound too grim, there was death threats on my family, and I didn't want people to be able to have access to me and my family that way. And so I said, it's not worth it. Look, in the grand scheme of things, how much more of me do you want? I mean, you got me on a radio show. You got me on a weekly podcast talking hockey. You got me on a weekly podcast talking with my wife. Like, I mean, there's enough of me out there already. If it's just straight for contact, send me an email.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying, on your morning radio show, you don't talk maybe as much hockey or sports, actually by any means, that we do on the show. On your Wheel After Dark, not as much as well. Like, this is like pure sports. Maybe people want to hear your sporting takes, and they can't hear that unless you have social media. So my idea was, we make you an Instagram account. I will run it. I'll be the manager. We'll just post, you know, your sporting takes, you know, you swearing at the TV watching the Jets lose, and then Connor Hellebuyck not signing, which, did you see that, by the way? He doesn't want to come back to Winnipeg.
Can't figure out why. Yeah.
Can't figure out why. It's tough. Yeah. That's really tough.
If you want to dig into that, we can, but let's do it a little bit later. I will say this. Tell you what. I will put a bounty on this. I'll put a bounty on it. If we can get to 200 Patreon subscribers, I will set up a private Instagram account that only Patreon subscribers have access to. But I ain't doing it for less than 200. It ain't worth my time, homie.
It's a lot of Patreon members.
The bar has been set. If you really want to see me making commentary on Jets games and Wrexham AFC and all my other, and Formula One and golf, then that would be worth it to me. 200 Patreon subscribers, and I will set up whatever level, like even the minimal level, as long as there's 200 Patreon subscribers, I will set up a private account that only Patreon members will have access to. But here's the thing about it. Here's the other thing too. If I say something you don't like, then you can't go complaining and reposting it and saying, this is what he said. It's like HBO. You paid for it, so you got to deal with it. If you don't like it, don't follow it.
Well, here's an idea for you, okay? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for it?
All set.
This, obviously, is the Sling the Biscuit podcast. This isn't your morning radio show or whatnot. But what if, I know your morning co-host, Tyler Carr, just won an award. He went down to Banff. He wasn't able to take the train, by the way, because there was no train route, but that's another topic for another day.
Future leader of tomorrow, the Western Canadian Broadcasters Association. Congratulations, old T. Carr.
What if instead of you making an Instagram account, what if I came in the morning show and just came in and read the traffic and the weather reports every now and then? I don't know. Like, I'll come in, like if you're the manager at like a Perkins or a Smitty's, you just come in for 20 minutes, flip a couple pancakes, shake a couple of hands, and then go back to golfing. Same kind of thing, right? I'll read your traffic and I'll read your weather. Maybe Adam West can toss me a Chris 20.
Here's your audition right now. Give me some beauties only weather and some beauties only traffic.
Okay, well, if I was going to join the show, we would have to have a signature trademark show, or a segment. And obviously, this being the sporting podcast, I'm going to call it Beauties Only, Weather and Traffic. And I prepared a little something for the viewers to listen to. Are you ready?
Let me get my seatbelt on.
For Sunday, June 18th, 2023, she is an absolute beauty, Michaela Demeter, out there in the Eastern Ontario world. Actually, borderline Paige Sparaniak, if you will. Smoke show for days. Straight dust. Dustier than Dave's right eye socket, which hasn't seen work in over two decades. But back here, west in Vancouver, she's going to be a chiseler over the weekend. A little crisp in the morning, 8 degrees, heating up to about 15 by the afternoon. Sunny, should be an absolute gem. Traffic is a yard sale downtown. You're going by Falls Creek, downtown Vancouver. You want to stay away. A lot of Dion Phaneufs, a lot of construction everywhere. This is Beauty's Only Weather and Traffic. Back to you, Dave. How was that?
I will tell you this. I'm glad I'm not a program director who has to make decisions on that kind of that kind of programming. But listen, since you mentioned the date, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there and to all of the fur daddies. And if you're a father, happy Father's Day. Enjoy the day. Flip some burgers, mow the lawn, do the stuff that dads do.
I was going to say, so I have a friend of mine that I've recently come into contact with, Adam Bell. He's a local Vancouver YouTuber. Never really played any sports. And when him and I hanging out, we usually talk, you know, business, his real estate business, YouTube business, social media business, all the kind of stuff. But half the time when I talk to him, he has to kind of pause. He gives me a weird look, and then he'll reply with, "Can you say that again, but in English? Because I didn't quite understand that." So when I use terminologies like, "It's a yard sale outside, absolute dust. I'm just heading down to the boneyard right now." Like, what? You just took a 9-iron off the bucket? Can you explain it to me in English? Right? Very confusing. So maybe the morning show people on Energy 106, maybe might need like a legend or like a vocabulary, like a dictionary. Like, this is what Trav means when he's talking about certain things.
Listen, if you want a real education in linguistics, go head up the road to Squamish. They're changing the rules of how language is supposed to be spoken up there with the, I mean, it's not just, "Hey, bro," it's not that anymore. I mean, they've got new words every week. And if you don't keep up, they kick you out the Whistler.
Well, anyway, welcome to Sling the Biscuit. This is going to be episode 46 of the podcast. By the way, Dave, last week for episode 45, you know who I missed? Stanley Cup champion Jonathan Bernier. We're number 45 for the Kings in their first cup run in 2012.
There you go. Who do we got this week? Who's 46?
There is no 46, but I have one for next week, which is going to be Stanley Cup champion Johnny Graham. Ooh. Boston Bruins, Tampa Bay, and Carolina Hurricanes legend, backup goalie for Nikolai Hagibulin in the 04 Cup run. The reason being, where I mentioned Johnny Graham for episode 47, is next week is going to be an interview with Nick the goalie, Nick Weston. You may have heard of him. He's all over social media, TikTok, Instagram, basically.
That guy.
So Dave and I won't be here for next week's episode. It'll just be me and Nick. But for episode 47, John Graham, Stanley Cup champion. Great lettuce, by the way. Great salad.
Who, me or him?
Well, both, but there we go again. There's another definition of vocabulary that people on maybe Energy 106 may be like, huh?
Uh-huh.
What? Lettuce?
Little salad, little tossed salad there. Yeah, I'm going for a haircut on Father's Day, so you're going to see a new do. Going to get my hair did.
You look kind of like George of the Jungle, but hey, the hair will be working. Unfortunately, the right eye socket is not, right?
Well, we talked about it on the podcast before. There's a certain length where it stops looking good under a helmet. I mean, the hockey hair is good. But once it gets to a certain length, it just doesn't look good under a helmet anymore.
I don't know. I think your hair right now, just like looking at you on a call, I think it would look great with like a, you know, a visor cruising down the wing. But the second you take the bucket off, maybe it's a little bit too much. No. Mm.
Yeah. Well, the wife's tired of it. Her Keanu Reeves experiment trying to turn me into Keanu Reeves has failed, and so she wants me to go back.
Well, hey, she cares, right? This is what truly matters here.
Right. Speaking of Stanley Cup champions, how about your boy Jonathan Quick picking up his third and possibly final?
Yeah, I'm going to guess his final game. He just finished out the 10-year contract with the Kings. 10 years, $60 million. What do you do with $60 million, Dave, if you get that kind of money?
Where would you like me to start?
Anywhere. Start somewhere, please.
Oh, investment funds for the kids, education taken care of, maybe a nice new golf cart, maybe some nice new Scotty Cameron putter for dad for Father's Day. Maybe piece off a few friends here and there. Take the wife on a nice trip. That probably should have been higher on my list. That probably should have been number one. Take the wife on a nice trip, and then everything else after that.
I got one for you. Ready for this one?
Yep.
I'm going to buy my own private train.
And what tracks are you going to put it on?
I don't know. I actually, you know what? I emailed, and I apologize for the train talk real quickly here. I emailed Canadian Pacific, CP. So they have a luxury charter train called the Royal Canadian Pacific. It's the 1930s to 1950 Dominion train refurbished, and they roll it out maybe 3-4 times a year. Bill Gates and Melinda Gates actually were just on the train. That's before she took him to the cleaners for half marriages in the shitter. But he was on the train, and a lot of rich people go. And so I sent them an email. I was like, "Hey, this is what I do. I will never be able to afford your train because it's like $20,000 a person, but I would love to go." And they're like, "Actually, we don't do the private excursions anymore. We only do charters, which are $80,000 a day."
Oh, that's what you do with $60 million.
I do a five, hold on, 8 times 5. That's less than $500,000. So that's probably about 0.5% of my money that I just got. So yeah, I do a 5-day excursion across the CP tracks.
Yeah, start saving up now. You never know. I was just going to say, how do you feel about Jonathan Quick winning one as a backup?
weird. I thought he should have played. It's, you know, it's also weird too, not to get too off topic, but like the goalie situation, you have Robin Lehner, who apparently is coming in at over 300 pounds nowadays. Like, that's a scary dude. Whoa. I think we might've talked about this, you know, earlier in one of the other episodes, but if you saw Robin Lehner in a back alley late at night, the dude has no neck. He's just like all shoulders and traps. You don't want to mess with that guy. You do not want to mess with him. By the way, I have sent him multiple Instagram messages and never heard back. Have I mentioned that before?
Yeah, he's the type of guy that is basically, you can tell by looking at him, he has that look on his face, which is F around and find out.
The Ron DeSantis special, Ronnie D.
yeah, exactly.
But so they got Robin Lehner. They had Laurent Brossoit, who he had the same hip surgery as me. I think it was a knee injury that he had. They didn't really disclose what it was, but he had the knee injury. You had Logan Thompson, NHL All-Star, well, former All-Star. Jonathan Quick, 4. And then Aiden Hill, 5, who, by the way, is going to get paid. That guy's going to be able to take a couple excursions down those CP tracks this summer because he's a Calgary boy, by the way. He's from Calgary, so he could go ripping up and down between Calgary and Banff probably three times for 80 grand a day.
Here's the thing, and I just have a sneaking suspicion that the league has kind of learned its lesson. And I believe me when I tell you, Aiden, if you're listening right now, I'm not calling you a flash in the pan, but right now that's how most teams are looking at you. You had a strong team in front of you. You had a good run. You came in and you won yourself a Stanley Cup in the latter half of the playoff schedule. Awesome. Good for you. I just don't. I think teams have learned their lessons too many times. Going, ooh, that's the guy. That's the guy. You got a cup. That's the guy. Pay him whatever. Get him on the roster. And then they get on the roster and they sign him to 5 years. And they're like, whoa, this isn't the same guy we saw in Vegas. What's going on? So I mean, Jordan Binnington's another example. He gets a cup. He comes in. He's a rookie. There's no video on this guy. They don't know how to solve him. And then he's okay. He's okay after that. So I don't think he's going to get that paycheck that maybe goaltenders in the past have gotten. I'm sure the collective bargaining agreement, the Players Association is probably, pardon me, excuse me, I'm allergic to big contracts. I think the Players Association is probably pushing, be like, yeah, this guy needs to get paid, but I don't think teams are going to fall for that again. I think he's got to have a full season of being a starter before he gets that paycheck.
Well, who else comes to mind? Antti Niemi wins the cup in Chicago and then has a couple okay years in San Jose and then kind of,
Chicago's been bit by that a few times. Robin Darling's another one.
I mean, Scott Darling, you mean?
Scott Darling. Sorry, I went to school with a girl named Robin Darling. Scott Darling, yes.
Man, what a monster, though, by the way. 6'6", had a lot of success with the Hawks, and then for whatever reason just couldn't pull it together in Carolina. Great style, though. Huge guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to go back and throw this idea back out there that you had once upon a time of what if they treated hockey teams like they did baseball teams and your pitchers were your goalies, where you have more than just two. Like, maybe you have a roster of 5. And you're only allowed to play one of your goaltenders 40 times a year, and then the rest of them have to sub in. A, it's going to cut down on injuries, but I think that's going to take care of these big goaltender contracts, these albatross contracts that sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes don't really pay off for what you're paying.
Well, you could argue that Vegas accidentally on purpose did that. I mean, like, they had 5 goalies play considerable amount of games all season, all because one guy got injured, and then, you know, just monkey in the middle, next guy goes. And you could argue that you had a healthier Aiden Hill because he's playing in the American League and then not as many NHL games. And then you have even Jonathan Quick, who, again, I thought he should have been playing games before Aiden Hill coming in from Laurent Brossoit, but everybody was fresh. Everybody was ready to go. So who knows?
Well, I mean, Vegas is a I know last week on the show I talked about the whole conspiracy theory of it being rigged and whatnot, but the Vegas Golden Knights, and right from the get-go, when I had a chance, I was at a University of Manitoba Bison's dinner I was emceeing, and McCrimmon was there. And it was, I think it was just after the first year. I don't think they even had a year under their belt yet. And I kind of bent his ear a little bit. I'm like, hey, I saw your roster. Did you purposely go in and draft 4 second lines? And he kind of like cocked his head a little bit and he went, you're smarter than you look, Wheels. And I think they kind of fell ass backwards into that same situation with goaltenders where they didn't go for the top guy. They kind of found someone who's going to, a bunch of guys who can kind of fit in the middle, not only for contracts, but also for their play. And if you put a good team in front of them and make sure that you manage their shots, they're going to end up looking like the best guy in the league.
I mean, it goes to prove it. They've been in the Western Conference Finals so many times. I will say, though, like you mentioned last week, they came out and said within 6 years we'll win a cup, and they win it within 6 years. And then you look at, let's say, the Vancouver Canucks, 50-plus years, can't get a sniff. Is the NHL rigged? I don't know.
Well, Vancouver Canucks, Winnipeg Jets. I mean, there's
In Game 5, also, we talked about this before we started recording, but was that the Vegas Golden Knights or the Vegas Raiders out there? They put up the touchdown and they get the 2-point, what do you call it in the CFL, in the Comedy League, when they kick it through the end zone on the punt?
Comedy League. That is called the Rouge.
The Rouge, there there we go. By the way, I saw the video Tyler posted the other day, your morning radio co-host on Energy 106, which Dave hosts, the number one morning radio show in the city of Winnipeg, has been for 20 years. But your co-host posted the video of that huge hot dog that the Bombers were selling at the game. It looks absolutely scrumptilly. I'd have one, but I'm in Vancouver, so.
Oh, they brought one into the studio for us, and man, oh man, that's a dog. Holy smokes. And apparently, I thought it was, they were competing with the Jumbo Jet Dog, which you can get at Winnipeg Jet Games at Canada Life Center in downtown Winnipeg on Portage
Avenue. Very overpriced, by the way. Extremely overpriced.
I agree. So I thought they were competing with that one, but it turns out they were competing with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders at Mosaic Field, because apparently they had a huge dog, and that thing was 30 inches, and so Winnipeg went, 32. Ours is bigger.
But let's talk about your dog for a second. The sponsor, the presenting sponsor of this show, putting a cover on your dog, the team is Sheath Underwear. Sheath Underwear has been the sponsor for the show, the presenting one since day one, and here is why. They have the dual pouch technology. So if your ham bone is getting stuck to the side of your leg, and maybe your package, your compartment, your basket attached to the ham bone is as well. It's all kind of right on the one side. Sheath Underwear stops that from happening. Reason being, they have a pouch that is separated and segregated. Your ham bone goes in the one compartment, your tether ball goes in the other, and they just sit there comfortably, not touching, aerated, fresh, and you're feeling crisp throughout the day. They also have this incredible bamboo mesh technology. It is cooling, especially when it's +9 in Winnipeg this morning, a little bit cooler, or +32 in Vancouver as it is here today. You're going to be cool, comfortable, and confident with your pair of Sheath Underwear.
These esoteric terms that you were using earlier, like salad for hair, people don't get that, but these synonyms that you're using for male genitalia, well done. Keep going.
If you don't know what I'm talking about when I refer to it as a ham bone, you should not be listening to the show. You should go find something else to listen to. But I was trying to do an ad the other day for Sheath for the vlog, and I was reading the voiceover, and then Victoria was listening to me, and I was describing it as the ham bone, and I had to keep stopping because she kept laughing. You could hear it in the background. But anyway, Sheath Underwear, you're going to go to the link in the video description on the YouTube podcast. You're going to click on that link, and the code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69, will get you 20% off. The best underwear money can buy, same for the Apple and the Spotify version. On the podcast notes, so just pull over when it's safe to do so, or at the end of your set at the gym. Click the podcast notes, click the link, BIZKIT69. 20% off, the best underwear money can buy.
If you didn't get on this before Father's Day, it's not too late. You can still get Dad a late Father's Day gift by getting a set of Sheath Underwear. You won't regret it, and neither will he.
And he'll be disappointed if you didn't get them on time for Father's Day, but he'll be less disappointed if you gave them to him at all. Speaking of which, you know who could have used a pair of Sheath Underwear? Sergei Bobrovsky, because he was probably shitting his pants after game 5. Sheath won't help with the solids, but it will definitely help with the sweating.
Okay, now hear me out on this. I know we had an argument during the conference finals talking about, like, oh, if Florida goes on to win, who's it going to be, Bobrovsky or Tkachuk? Bobrovsky or Tkachuk? I think both of those guys flail a little bit. I mean, I'll give more credit to Tkachuk. I think he had a little more game left in him. I think I don't want to say Bobrovsky lost it for Florida. I just think Vegas flat out won. But I think he's going to hang that loss around his neck for the summer, and I really hope that he gets a chance to rebound in the fall when he goes back to camp and puts it behind him and uses it as a learning. I mean, he's at the age where he doesn't need to learn anything anymore, but he's got to put that behind him if he wants to move forward with the latter half of his career, because guy stood on his head for 3 series in a row, and it's just too bad that the supporting cast couldn't come through for him and at least put out a better effort than 9-3 in an elimination game.
In all fairness, though, it was 8 goals in the empty net. We can't hang all 9 on him, but it was 8.
I'm talking about the team in general.
That's tough. It's kind of like a Rick Bonus in the Jets. No pushback. We suck. Their guys were better than us. It did look like Bobrovsky was just tired. Like, from my perspective, goaltending-wise, I thought he was good in game 1, really good in game 1. Team let him down in game 2. Nothing he can do about the goals. 4 on 16 shots. Game 3, that is a 8-0 Vegas win. If Bob isn't it, he makes these timely cross the crease, blocker, split saves, these pad saves, these gloves, everything is just in control. He's the best skater in the world. I don't care what anybody says. And just he was Bob. He was dominant. He was the Conn Smythe winner we've been talking about in game 3. And it's why they blew the roof off the building when they tied it late. And just the place went nuts. Just lunacy in the building in Florida when they won game 3 in overtime. But game 4, he just wasn't. And then game 5, he fell apart.
Hear me out on this one, and you know, you can disagree with me if you like. That's one of the advantages of life, is you're allowed to have differing opinions. But I think in those first couple of games that Vegas won, they kind of walked on eggshells a little bit around Florida. They're like, okay, don't take these guys for granted. They beat Boston. you know, they had a good run. Let's feel them out. And then after game two, they're like, oh, this is an 8-seeded wild card team. We were first in the West. Okay, we got this. No problem.
Yeah, I don't know. That first goal in game five, like, I thought Florida was looking really good to start of game five. They looked like they were going to dominate. And how do you let Mark Stone walk, what, like, I don't know, 8 inches from the lip of the crease? Walks right in and just roofs it on Bobrovsky. Like, how do you let a guy like that wide open, especially that good? Like, he just roofed it. And I don't know. I can kind of sense that, here we go again. The second goal goes in, the third, the fourth, the fifth. And it's just like, you know, we're going to give up. Like, we're done here. It is what it felt like to me. But
yeah, it says Stone on the back of his jersey, not on his gloves.
Hat trick two in game five. And apparently he went on the record after saying, after game five, he's like, what were you listening to? Nickelback. Good Winnipeg boy. Listen to a little bit of Nickelback before the game. Get you fired up. They're in Winnipeg on June 20th, in a couple days from now. I guess 2 days after the show goes up. And they're in Vancouver in 2 weeks, by the way.
Since it's Father's Day, I'm going to share this one with you. It's really too bad that Nickelback couldn't open up for 50 Cent when he comes to Winnipeg this fall, because then it could have been the 45 Cent show.
That's a good one. Speaking of 45 Cents, the 45 Cent League, you want to talk a little bit of Fed Zeno news?
Give it to me. Okay, now
Sorry, 45 cents is on brand with my paycheck for this salary, for this season, per week. 45 cents a week by the time I pay for my meals and expenses.
Now, I've been afraid to ask, but I'm going to ask it, and I think I'm asking on behalf of most of the people that have been following along very closely, but for those that are up to date on this podcast, all 46 episodes of this season, we know that you are currently with the Withville unnamed FPHL team, okay?
Correct.
Have you? We know you got drafted in the expansion draft from the Motor City Rockets to Withville, the expansion franchise. They're building the rink right now, putting in 3,000 seats. It's a highway town. It's a county. It's got Roanoke down the road. People are really excited about this. Have you at least heard anything since draft day? Because I know up until last week we hadn't heard anything.
Yes, so our fearless leader, our owner, Barry Soskin, did finally reach out. Him and I had a nice hour-long conversation on Monday. But keep in mind, though, so the news, again, like Dave mentioned, Motor City Rocker, I was taken by Withville, Virginia in the draft, in the expansion draft for free, and I am property of Withville. Now, here's the thing, and this is very, very important details here. Although Withville owns my rights, I'm not signed. So I'm the property of them until, I believe, opening week of the season. That's when they have to sign me. And if they don't sign me, I become a free agent. But until then, I'm their property. And so their options are they will have to sign me for the start of the season anytime, or they can trade my rights. Now, we mentioned this last episode, or it might have been two episodes ago, last year in the draft between Motor City, Mississippi, and Elmira drafting all players. I would say probably half, maybe 40% of all the players that were drafted, their rights just got dished. They got traded for future considerations or whatnot. I was in contact with an FPHL team that is not one of the expansion teams or Virginia the other day. And they said, okay, we are preparing to make a trade offer for you. We're going to trade for you and a defenseman that you picked up in the draft. And we have a deal that they will not refuse. We're going to be trading a point per game player. And this is how we're going to steal the deal here. Are you ready for this, Dave? This is the mm-hmm. future considerations. When you see mm-hmm. future considerations, this is what we're talking about. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. We want a late checkout when we come to town twice. And we want a meal covered by you guys. Meal of our choice.
Love it. I love the little size. It's like, all right, I can't get the whole farm, but I'll take a couple cows.
Done mid-rare, salt, pepper, with a little side of melted brown butter, please. And a late checkout to boot. What a league. Who trades for... We'd like a late checkout at the hotel, and you cover the late checkout.
You know, it's the details. It's the killers in the what do they say? The devil's in the details. So yeah, listen, you scrape and claw and grab whatever you can.
That's incredible. I mean, from we talked about this in, you know, earlier on in the season, but guys getting traded for buses, guys getting traded for hotel stays. The offer for me, which was a hotel stay and dinner for the Motor City management, minus the players. The players weren't getting it. The management were a nice steak dinner. Again, it all depends on the cut. I mean, if we're given an inside round, maybe we don't accept. Maybe we counter with a T-bone or a New York strip. Great steaks, by the way. Great marbling. But what a league. And you never hear about this information, though, because you just see future considerations, and nobody knows what that is. Like, what is a future consideration? It's a bus, a laundry machine, steaks, salt and pepper at the table, late checkout. That is future considerations. So
it's future considerations, but a lot of times they'll throw the conditional tag on it too. Like, hey, if you go on and win the championship, then we want, you know, a higher draft pick. And if you don't do so well, we'll take a lower draft pick. So, I mean, again, the devil's in the details, but if you can get a washer, can you get one? Because mine's on the fritz right now.
Well, funny you mentioned that too. This team, I have to be careful. Hold on. This team picked up a defenseman this year from a team for $300, but it was a loan. So it's like, here's $300 US. We'd like to loan him from you, and we'll give him back at the end of the season. Right? That's a future consideration. But what you see on the league website is so-and-so was traded to this team for future considerations. $300 and give him back later. It's a rental.
It's interesting that is actually a lot more popular in European soccer, where if a team's kind of in the bottom of the table, and there's a team at the top, you're like, man, we could really use a good midfielder or a good striker. They will get a loan from one of those teams with the promise that they'll give them back at the end of the season. It was like, hey, we're going to borrow your guy for the latter half of the season for one last push. The NHL does that too, where they call them rent-a players, but they actually have to be under contract and they become property. Where I actually like the way they do it in European soccer. Where it's like, no, we're just going to lend them to you for a little while, and again, we'll get something in return. Maybe it's a washing machine, maybe it's a bus, maybe it's a plane, depending on what league it is. But I don't mind that. I mean, listen, it's business. It's show business, not show friends.
You seen the movie Don't Mess with the Zohan with Adam Sandler, right?
Of course.
I want your wife and yogurt shop.
Good trade.
I want two pee-pee touch, phantom mukin tukin, and one wife. No, one pee-pee touch. Okay. Okay. Take what you can get, right? Shoot for the moon, settle for the stars.
There. Now, listen, I know when I say this name, it's going to be triggering, but keep in mind, I read this book long before he even ran for president of the United States, but Donald Trump wrote a book a decade or so ago called The Art of the Deal, and that's exactly what he said. He goes, if you want this, ask for this, and when you settle for this, you got exactly what you wanted, and they think they're like, whoa, well, at least we didn't give away all of this, but meanwhile, it's all I wanted. But I made you believe that I wanted the whole thing. It's all in the art of the deal.
Well, he also said, too, the number one part of negotiating, especially with that, is you have to be ready to walk away. I'll make you the offer, but I'm ready to walk away. I don't need this. You need me more than I need you, which
bingo.
I guess when you're trading a late check-in or a late check-out at the hotel, that is part of the art of the deal, right?
Bingo. No, absolutely. I was like, all right, fine. If you're willing to walk away over a late checkout, call me if you're interested. Bye-bye.
Checkout's at 11, by the way.
We got to get this done. We got to pack your bags.
But as far as the team goes, though, I'll throw some pictures up on the video version of the screen. Some new progress has been made with the construction of the Withville Arena. Mm. So it's supposed to be, they're putting in the concrete for the floor, and they're going to be, you know, putting the ice, the boards, all that stuff shortly. But it's supposed to be a 3,000 seat capacity, which would put us probably about middle of the pack ish as far as seating in the league, maybe sixth or seventh. It's kind of hard to tell from the pictures because there's no seats. It's just like empty and they're putting in concrete, but 3,000 is what I'm being told. We have a coach. His name is Wojtek. I can't pronounce his last name, nor am I going to try because I don't want to offend him, but Wojtek, I'm looking forward to having you be our coach for this season. And that's it. We're going to have a GM named shortly thereafter. And that's the Withville team. We're also, I was told by Barry Soskin, it will not be a Withville team. It's going to be a Virginia team because we don't play for Withville. We play for the state of Virginia. Now, I still like the Virginia Express that kind of has a ring, the VW, right? Mm-hmm. Volkswagen, right? Yep. Kind of rolls, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. But here's an idea that I was given by, and shout out to him, Lance Snyder. He's one of the Patreon members for the show. The arena, not the Withville Forum, not the Withville Fairgrounds Coliseum, the Withville Station.
Yeah, well, if you're going to go with Express, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no other option.
And we got to get a black locomotive, just a plume of black smoke when the fellas come out to Kickstart My Heart or any of the amazing songs that we have. Maybe Burn It to the Ground, Nickelback. That's one that kind of gets you going.
Dude, if you're going with the Express, you're opening with Crazy Train. Ozzy Osbourne, classic. All aboard.
I feel like it's overplayed, though.
So what? Run with it.
Here's one for you. How about this? This one's a better one. Kid Rock, Roving Gangster. I'm rolling. Devil Without a Cause, 1999. American Badass. Maybe we can get Kid Rock to come out to Withville, Virginia.
No. You lost that opportunity when you moved out of Detroit. When you moved out of Motor City, the Kid Rock option is gone.
Oh, I have some news for you that I'm going to tell you. The team that is prepared to trade for me, right? I was told, And again, we're not going to mention names until the team has officially made the trade and I'm a member of the team and I'm signed. They told me two things. One, when the trade goes through, we will be signing immediately after, and the email paperwork will come through where we want to get that signed, sealed, and delivered right away. Number two, you will start all games against Motor City this season. Ooh. End of story. Home and away. Every game against Motor City, you will start them.
Ooh, wow. Now, I don't want to ask what you'd prefer because I know you just want a place to play. I get that. But what does your gut tell you? Do you think you're going to be with Ville, or do you think you're going to be on another team?
No comment.
The only reason why is I don't want to get people excited and buying merch and all that kind of stuff if you're not even going to be playing there.
Wait until a signing. Regardless, one team that is claiming they're going to trade for me has to trade for me, and the team that currently owns me has to sign me. So technically speaking, although I am property with Ville, I don't have a team. Nobody has signed me. So there is no need to buy merchandise anytime soon. Also, even if Withville did sign me, we don't have a logo or a jersey or anything or any merch. So there's no merch to buy. But like Lance Snyder, remember the Patreon team, you can get this amazing Sling the Biscuit coffee mug free when you become a Patreon member today. $5 a month to start. $10 members are going to get this, as well as this awesome whited out Sling the Biscuit podcast t-shirt, or not t-shirt, sweater. And then also, as well as that, we have many, many perks. I've finally done my job after all these months and finally got some amazing perks together for the show. We're going to be doing a once a month, every 4 to 6 weeks, Patreon exclusive episode between me and Dave, answering your questions. You want us to talk about something specific, if you ask it, we will talk about it. No questions asked. And there's also going to be, if you're a member, you join for $5, you're going to be getting access to my trading card collection. You're going to get the rookie cards from Motor City and Varberg, the original ones. You're going to get the brand new six-piece regular set. So cards from Flemingsburg, VIU, Lundar, Arberg, these crisp regular printed cards. And finally, the two holographic cards, this beautiful, crispy, shiny Motor City card, all white, from my win in Watertown. That's the picture you're going to see on the cover. And then the Varberg card, where I am tossing back the salad, even though I ain't a chef, with the handlebars mustache, by the way, on that card. And it's all exclusive perk. If you become a Patreon member today, it's $5 a month to start. Helps support the show. And as always, thank you to the amazing Patreon members. I think we got 20, maybe 25 members so far. Again, Dave said if we get 200, you'll 200, join Instagram. But
200. I will launch an Instagram page, but I ain't doing it for free, y'all.
Is this one of those Donald Trump things where you're going to say 200, but when we crack 50, you'll cave?
No, 200. On the mark. 200. I ain't doing it for any less, man. Listen, I ain't cheap, okay? I ain't one of those cheap ladies of the evening where it's like, you know, whatever you got in your pocket. No. I got a price tag. And by the way, I thought of something. I thought of a song that you can use. Anything by John Denver.
John, I almost called you John for a sec. Dave, you want to know why I'm lying? All right, try that again. Do you want to know why I know you're lying? Because I can smell the bullshit coming out of your mouth. And you're from Winnipeg. You're frugal. You're cheap.
Country roads take me home to a place where I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country roads.
Does that count as swearing? I don't think I've sworn on the podcast in 46 episodes.
Now you've said the S word. You've said the S word a few times. It's come out of your mouth.
Okay, well, curse me. That's 46 episodes. I'm due for one. We'll go again another 46. Early and often. Off the glass and out. Right?
By the way, you know what? I was just going to say, what a great transition into trimming up that mouth with a wonderful razor that you can get from another one of our presenting sponsors.
Yes, the Manscaped Beard Hedger from the team at Manscaped. It has 20 lengths. It has a 90-minute battery life, an absolute beast of a machine. If you'll see me here in the video version of the podcast, obviously you can't see in the audio version, but can you hear this maybe?
Oh, yeah. We'll just rub it up against the microphone. Give her one of these.
How's that?
There you go.
Is that okay? Is that okay?
Yeah. That's perfect.
This was trimmed up with the Manscaped Beard Hedger. So I taper down from about a 10 down to a 20, and then I just kind of put my comb in there, the Manscaped comb, and I kind of taper that Hercules, maybe Crimson Chin jawline look. I know I don't have the greatest natural jawline, so I try to compensate any way I can, right? That as well, they come with some awesome beard shampoo, some creams, some oils and whatnot. And again, the Manscaped Beard Hedger, 90 minutes of life, 20 different lengths. It's awesome. And you're going to go to the link in the video description at manscaped.com. You're going to click on that. Code BISKIT, BIZKIT, is going to get you 20% off and free shipping. The Manscaped Beard Hedger. And again, thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the show. And we got them until the end of August, which is great.
That thing is so good. It can make you look like Leonidas without the workout.
Basically. Yeah. You got to get a little bit of a jawline. But speaking of jawline and somebody who maybe doesn't have one, the owner of the Delaware Thunder, let's get into that. So the Federal Prospects Hockey League, the FPHL, is literally never a dull moment. The traveling circus, the NASCAR Nights, we talk about every episode. Here is how this shook down. So at the end of the season, Delaware had already known that they'd been kicked out of their arena. Charlie Penn Sr., their owner, apparently had made some enemies at the local Delaware fairgrounds, and they said, you don't own the arena, get out. See you later. And he's like, well, I want to play. We'll find somewhere else to play, buddy. And so he didn't want to relocate the team from Harrington to Dover. So he said, okay, I'll just build my own arena. So he's going to build the arena, but obviously there's nothing in existence right now. So he said, I'm going to go dormant for a year, maybe 2 years, and we'll come back when the arena's built. Well, the league was going to be 12 teams, which would now be down to 11 teams. And the league said, okay, listen, either somebody has to go or you have to move somewhere because we need 10 or 12 teams. You're going to ruin the schedule with 5 and 6 teams in each division. It's not going to work. So the Delaware Thunder are officially moving to New Jersey, the home of Ilya Bryzgalov, the guest for the show in a couple weeks coming up. So New Jersey is going to be where the team is. I don't know the city. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they will be the New Jersey Thunder, the New Jersey, I don't know what they're going to be called, but it will be the Delaware Thunder relocated in New Jersey. And then this is interesting news. This is hot off the press from the FPHL. So the Elmira team. So they used to be the Elmira Enforcers. By the way, Dave, I don't know if I told you this before. The Elmira Enforcers died due to the COV, the COVE 2020. And the owner made himself the logo. So if you Google right now, if you're on the video version, go on YouTube or go on Google and search up Elmira Enforcers. And the logo is the owner. He had a mustache, big jack muscles. He used to be apparently a member of the biker gang, like the Hells Angels, and he made himself the team logo. It's a true story, by the way.
Oh, I love that. I love everything about that.
Problem is he didn't pay his bills, like the next guy we're going to talk about, so the team went under.
He's got a 607 on his forehead. I'm assuming that's the area code.
So 607 is on his forehead. It sounds like one of those things where, you know, he went out for a night with the fellas, and the wife put his phone number on his forehead. So if found, please return to Glennis at so-and-so.
I had a buddy who knew full well how black he played a lot of hockey over in Europe with a bunch of different teams, most recently in Finland. Anyways, he knows all too well how he gets when he goes out boozing, and he knows he blacks out and he goes to a lot of different cities. So he actually, when they get to a place, like, what's the hotel? What's the address? And he will take Sharpie and write it on his forearm. So when it's time to go home, he gets in a cab and just does this. And here, home.
That's tough.
Not a dumb idea, man.
Early and often, glass and out, go for a change, right? Dump it in. Coach!
Get me home. Country roads, get me home.
But speaking of back to home, so the Elmira Enforcers fold in 2020. Steve Donner opens the Elmira Mammoth, which was the new FPHL team for this season. And he took over the Elmira First Arena, and the contract was, you're going to get the arena for $1, one U.S. dollar, so about $1.27 Canadian to own the arena, on the condition that you pay all the Wi-Fi, water, electricity bills, and you just maintain the arena. Well, turns out, fast forward a year later, he has not paid one single bill of that, except for the $1, or sorry, not including not paying the $1 fee, which is probably where he should have started. And the release from the FPHL said, the Federal Prospects League FPHL team will be at First Arena this season, a new team specifically. The announcement comes after former tenant of Mammoth Sports and Entertainment Group was evicted last month after the county cited unpaid utility bills in excess of $250,000 U.S. dollars and lack of financial communication and documentation. So congratulations, Elmira. You are going to have your team back. It's not going to be the Enforcers or the Mammoth. Or maybe they'll go back to the Enforcers because that was a pretty kick-ass jersey with the black and neon green. Mm-hmm. But the team is going to be owned by the league this year, and as well as Barry Soskin, our owner for Virginia, who now has a monopoly in the league. I believe he owns 5 or 6 teams in the league. But yeah, so Steve Donner's out, bill's not paid, league is going to be running the Elmira team, and that's all your FPHL news for June of 2023.
If I had to guess, just because of the legacy of the Federal League and tying 1977 Slapshot into that, I don't think they want to make themselves more of a prospect league rather than being a enforcer league. So I think they would, if I had to guess, just to kind of keep the image consistent with, hey, we're a prospects league, you'd probably want to get rid of the enforcers tag.
But it's kick-ass. You're going to sell merch, right? Money in the door. Tickets at the door, merchandise. You're not really making any money on online streaming. Apparently, every team loses money on the YouTube streaming, which I think is the greatest thing they've ever done, is make the games available for free on YouTube every time
How do you? Well, I guess you're losing money if you're paying for the camera and you're paying for the announcers. But I mean, it's free to upload to YouTube. I mean, you're not paying for a platform.
Yeah, well, in Motor City specifically, our broadcast crew, excuse me, shout out to Ben Zalagi, our broadcast guy, and Brody Beacon. They were not allowed to go to the road games, so the team wasn't willing to pay to put them on the bus, to house them, hotels, food, etc. So they would only do the home games. But you look at, let's say, the Columbus River Dragons. They have like 37 different camera angles. They have a legitimate team, a team that manages the live broadcast on YouTube, a team that manages the live, like the camera angles, the feed, the play-by-play, the everything. It is... although, you know, the FPHL does get a little bit of a rep or a bad reputation when maybe our camera in Motor City looks like it's, you know, being streamed off a Nintendo DS. the Columbus River Dragon crew did an incredible job with the replay, just everything. It is so good. It is American League quality stuff. And the Binghamton Black Bears, obviously, when, as we documented before, the Binghamton Devils and the Binghamton Senators, when they just pulled out of the arena, kind of like Joe Biden in Afghanistan, or one of your the Bell Media out of all the AM radio stations in Canada the other day, when they just pulled out, left everything there and said, see ya.
Yeah, just turn the lights off. Lock the door behind you. It's basically what they did.
Turn the lights off and carry me home. Back to Binghamton, New York. And they have an incredible broadcast because they have all the cameras and all the equipment that they had before for the American League. So the FPHL does have some great broadcasts. So I guess maybe maintaining the equipment, paying the broadcast team, housing them in the hotels, meals, etc., is where the loss is coming in, because there's no actual money coming in from the live broadcast. But they're also throwing advertisements on there. Like every media timeout, so every 5 minutes when they blow the whistle, the teams go back to the bench, they do the media timeout. So you're making money on the ads, like whether it's the local Nissan dealership, if it's the, you know, local gym, grocery store, law firm, realty company, like whatever. They're paying X amount of dollars to advertise. So I don't necessarily believe that you're operating at a loss, but they are making some money.
Well, look, I mean, I've said this for years, but one of the biggest differences between the CFL and the NFL outside of the rules and the schedule is the coverage. I mean, the NFL just has better angles. They have better coverage. They have better Chiron. They have better everything, where, you know, like that's if you're going to sell the product, you've got to put it in a nice box. You've got to put it in a nice store. I mean, you may have a really good product, but if I have to step over garbage and whatnot to get into your store, then I'm probably not going to go shopping there. So if they put a better effort into doing what you said with that team, then yeah, I think people would be more likely to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, the live broadcast, you have a nice jersey stitched instead of, you know, heat printed or whatever it is. You give the fans a good experience. You have military night. You bring in the members of the military, all this stuff. Like you said, I mean, you know, let's say like a diamond ring, like a wedding engagement ring. You buy the ring, but they give you the nice box, a nice cushion. It's all about the package of the presentation, right? Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, you are essentially putting lipstick on a pig, and I'm not calling the FPHL's production a pig, but you're dressing it up, right? Trying to make it look good and trying to sell it to the fans, so...
Absolutely. Listen, the Kardashians have done really well for over a decade.
Oh, don't get me started on the reality TV.
All Dave, right, I don't want to.
Hold on for a sec. I gotta say this real quick.
Why did I say it? Go.
I gotta say this. My woman loves reality TV, yeah. And I always find myself, and I'll show you in the video version here in a second. I always find myself saying, I don't want to listen to that garbage. It's just so over the top dramatic. It's so unrelatable. Rich people with billions of dollars complain about how tough life is. But I come in here in the living room, and I'm in the kitchen over here, you know, cooking my breakfast, cooking my dinner, and then I hear somebody fighting, cussing everybody out, and then all of a sudden I put the hands on the hips. What's going on over here? Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden I start getting interested. Okay, maybe I put like one knee on the couch, the Captain Morgan pose. And then before you know it, I'm sitting down. I've watched 4.5 seasons of Vanderpump Rules with my woman because I can't get enough of this trash.
Dude, nobody holds a glass up to a wall in an apartment building to hear people getting along.
This is a true story, actually. Jax Taylor, member of Vanderpump Rules, very invested member of the goalie community, followed me for a very, very, very short period of time on Instagram and then unfollowed me. And I sent him a message the other day that I was enjoying the Vanderpump season. Nope. No response back.
No. Listen, before we wrap up, I want to touch really quickly on the other Florida team that lost, the Miami Heat. Now, they had a promotion where Conor McGregor came in. I'm sure he got paid a handsome sum to show up at the game and go down on the court and do a little... promotional gag, a bit, if you will, a comedic bit with the mascot. Now, coming from a guy who has worked with numerous teams, including the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the Winnipeg Jets, the Manitoba Moose, the Calgary Hitmen, the Lloydminster Blazers back in the day, as the guy that would be with the microphone, kind of the ringleader down there doing the contest and all that kind of stuff, I do not blame Conor McGregor. If you haven't seen the video, let me paint a picture for you if you're listening on the podcast. The idea is the mascot comes out and he's got big boxing gloves on. It's like, all right, Conor McGregor, let's get in the ring. I'll fight you, you Irishman. And so Conor McGregor, it's like the Siegfried and Roy thing. That tiger didn't go crazy. That tiger went tiger. Conor McGregor, you throw your mitts up in front of Conor McGregor, what's going to happen? You're going to get popped. So the idea was is that Conor McGregor takes a swing, and he's in one of those mascot suits that's more of like an inflatable suit. It's not like a full paper mache type situation. So it was probably like, okay, here's where my head sits in the costume. Aim high. But Conor McGregor's not a big dude. What does he stand at? 5'8", 5'9"? So him swinging high at a mascot catches this dude right in the side of the skull. He goes down. Nobody knows what he look if he's okay or not because he's got a giant mascot suit on. So Conor McGregor goes over and finishes him off and goes pop and lands him right on the beak. Mascot ends up going to the hospital. Not Conor McGregor's fault at all. Do not blame Conor McGregor. You can blame him for a lot of other things, not for that one.
I mean, you can add it to the list. He beats up old dudes at the club, old ladies in restaurants, DJs, music DJs, and the Miami Heat mascot. I got to say that the best part about that whole video, like you mentioned, he's lining up, ready to go, clocks the mascot. He had no idea what he's doing. Out, down for the count. And just like Jorge Masvidal on Darren the Gorilla Till, just stay down. Pops him. Good night, Jim Kite. See you later. Mm-hmm.
Good. Yep, just right. Pop right on the nose, and you see the legs come up, and you can tell that nobody knew because the promotional team comes around and they're a fan of the mascot. They're like, oh, it's all part of the gag. It's all part of the bit. Meanwhile, he's probably KO going, it's Wednesday? Yeah, not a clue. Not a clue what was going on.
Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Very nice. Great. That's a good place to wrap.
Well, as hard as McGregor hit the Miami Heat mascot, who got hit harder, him or Nick Taylor on the PGA by the security guard?
Woo! No, it was Adam Hadwin.
Adam Hadwin. Sorry.
Nick Taylor was the one that won. Hadwin gets Goldberg spiked on the green as he runs out, not realizing that he's a PGA Tour player. The best part is this week going on right now, the finals today is day four of the U.S. Open. Hadwin shows up in L.A. at the country club, and in his locker is a high-vis vest and a hard hat that the USGA lets him, saying, just want to make sure you're safe this week.
Oh, God.
Brilliant.
Well, obviously, the video is going to be in the video version, but like when you actually see the video, like if you're in the audio version, you're going to have to take my word for it because you can't see it. But like these security guys, like there is no mercy. Like we are going to pin him down. We are going to hurt this man and get him off the greens. And then you see that that universal, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, obviously, somebody probably had in their radio, hey, that's one of the players you meet stick, get off him. Uh-oh, yeah. Someone's getting fired.
Fellow Canadian, good friend, and PGA Tour player who wrapped up his day a little bit earlier and watched Nick Taylor make that 72-foot
Winnipeg
putt.
Boy. Winnipeg boy.
Well, not really.
Go on.
Nick Taylor, not really a Winnipeg boy.
Why?
Well, he had a cup of coffee there, but he grew up on the West Coast.
We'll take what we can get. We don't get, I mean, for Christ's sake, when you and me are the pride of Winnipeg, there's something wrong with the city.
I ended a 69-year drought. 69-year drought. He was born in Winnipeg. Pretty sure he was raised on the West Coast, but yeah, listen, if somebody stops in Oak Bank and has a coffee, we're like, oh, he's from Winnipeg. Like, we'll take credit for whatever we can get in Winnipeg, but no, born there. Raised out on the West Coast.
Just a quick little update before we cap up the show here. So this is going to be the last episode that me and Dave do for a little bit together, because next week is going to be, like we mentioned earlier, the Nick DeGoli interview, where him and I go back for about an hour and a half, just talking about social media, the business side of things, how he's making money, trying to go full-time, all the intricacies that we really don't talk about in this show. And that'll be coming up next week, followed by me and Dave recorded a YouTube masterclass episode that's already been recorded. It's in the vault, and it's going to be going up after that. And then an interview that I'm doing with Ilya Brzgalov one-on-one. Just a very, very interesting guy. He actually, believe it or not, Dave, I don't think I told you this, he got invited to go on Spit and Chicklets, and he kind of alluded to why he will never go on Spit and Chicklets. And it's a very, very interesting interview. And then finally, Dave and I will return probably about mid-July for a new episode together. And then we'll kind of go back into more of a stream of things episode-wise. But because I'm going to be in Halifax, leaving in, I think, 10 days, less than 2 weeks. I'm going to be there for 2 weeks and then taking the train, the old Boots Good Boogie down the tracks to Montreal and Toronto. The missus has a wedding with a friend. So I'm going to be going to be getting all dolled up. So I can't be wearing my Sling the Biscuit sweater and my mug to the wedding. I got to look like a gentleman, hopefully, like Jack Dawson, shine up like a new penny. And then from there, I will be flying to Winnipeg to see my mother. See my cat skate with some NHL draft picks who apparently they didn't need a goalie and they miss me. So I'll be skating with them. And then coming back on down to Vancouver to finish up the summer. I believe the missus and I are going camping in Revelstoke, I believe mid, end of July, for like a little two-day thing in the Rocky Mountains, in the Selkirks, in the Rogers Pass. How about my geography terminology? It's getting better, isn't it?
Not bad. Very well done. I'm actually going to be in central Alberta in August, so I'll be doing a bit of a western swing as well. I'm going to be doing a little bit of time down in Mexico, a little bit of time out of the... Yeah, so I think like summer for everyone else. You just kind of, you know, squeeze in as much visiting as you can.
Whereabouts in Alberta?
Edmonton, just specifically actually where I played AAA hockey in Fort Saskatchewan.
Oh, so you could take the train from Winnipeg to Edmonton, then back down here to Vancouver to come see me. You could.
I could, but I'd be traveling alone because, very similar to your lady, my wife refuses to do so.
Well, too long. More fun for you and me.
Exactly.
What an idiot. Died in a hang gliding accident. More for you and me.
I'm dead.
Anyway, this is Sling the Biscuit. This will be episode 46. On behalf of Dave Wheeler and myself, I want to say thank you so much for listening. We do new episodes every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, 8 on the West Coast. Thank you to Sheath Underwear and Manscaped for sponsoring the show. Join the Patreon page, get this awesome mug, and as well as the Sling the Biscuit sweater. Awesome perks for supporting the show. And Dave will rejoin social media. We'll get him before 200. Don't worry. I'll work on him after the show. But I wanted to say again, thank you so much for listening, making the show part of your day. And we look forward to seeing you when we see you next.